Would you please join me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you be our vision. Father, that you would be our vision for our future. That you would be the vision for our dreams. Father, knowing that your vision for us is better than anything that we could imagine or comprehend. That your vision for us includes loving us unconditionally. Your vision for us includes using our gifts that you created us to serve you so we can experience the ultimate joy and fulfillment of living life. So we're not just existing, Father, day to day, but Father, we're living. Father, we ask that you are our vision. And Father, I pray that you would give me your strength, your power today as I preach your word. Father, may everyone who listens be encouraged and go away wanting to trust you more and love you more as a result of hearing your word this morning. In your son's name we pray, amen. Well, welcome everyone, and thank you once again for inviting us into your home. And before I start, I just want to make two announcements. The first one is our counseling service. This week, we were able to add one more counselor, and that's Carol Yoshizaki. And she's going to be teaming up with me to help provide spiritual support. So if you are looking for some sort of guidance, and you know, especially in the area of spirituality or your spiritual life, contact Carol Yoshizaki. And like all of our emails, it's our first name at mvfmc.org. So it'll be Carol at mvfmc.org. She has a lot of experience. She has a great heart and love for people. And I know she'd want to avail herself to you any way we can. And the second thing is, I'm sure that all of us are aware that President Trump wants to declare all churches as essential businesses. And he's left the decisions on when churches should reopen up to each individual state governor. So I think the question on a lot of our minds is, you know, when are we going to open up? When are we going to open up? And granted, you know, throughout the COVID-19, we've been following the lead of the LA County Department of Health, and we will continue to do so. But I want to let you know, as your pastor and as your shepherd, that your health and safety and that of your family is our highest priority. And so even though we can reopen, doesn't necessarily mean that we should. And we will only reopen when we feel that it is safe for both you and your family members to come and worship in person again. And no doubt there are going to be restrictions, but we will not reopen until we have taken every measure we can to make this a safe environment for you. Because once again, that is our utmost importance. You know, we could still worship, and we'll still be streaming online. And so we're going to still give you an experience where you could be in the presence of God. But like I said, our goal is your safety. So we will keep you posted on when we will open up. But once again, we will open up when we feel that it is safe for you and your family. But one of the things that, you know, I've been doing as, you know, I just veg during this COVID-19 is I've been watching Disney Plus. And Disney Plus, they have these categories broken up into what kind of movies that you want to see. And one of the categories is The Avengers. And so I've been watching The Avengers. And I think I've always loved superheroes. Because there's something attractive about individuals that have superpowers that go beyond what mortal beings have. And it's really interesting as I look at these blogs and you know, they kind of argue, who's the most powerful Avenger? And if you want to get my vote, I vote for Captain Marvel. I think Carol Danvers is the most powerful of all of the Avengers. But once again, there is something attractive about people who have these superpowers. And I think that we dream about having those powers. Growing up, my favorite superhero was the Green Lantern. And I think some of us would love to have those powers because we'd like to be different. We'd like to live heroic lives. But you know what? Today we're going to learn that we can live these heroic lives. And it's the God of this universe, the most powerful being in this universe, who lives inside all of those of us who choose to place our faith in Him, has given us that power that we have at our disposal that many of us, including myself, have often failed to use. And so if you have your Bibles with me, can you turn with me to Acts chapter 3, verse 1, and we're going to learn today how we could be God's superhero. So we're going to start Acts 3, verse 1. And one day Peter, now these are the apostles, Peter and John, were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, what they used to do is they used to go to the temple during fixed times or during certain times of the day in order to pray. And that really is a good kind of discipline if you want to practice that today. Because, you know, we get so busy in our day, don't we? I mean, there's so much to do, so many deadlines that we have to meet, so many responsibilities that we have, that we could go the entire day without thinking about God. But what fixed our prayer does is that, let's say we choose 12 o'clock. For some of us, that's our lunch break. That we know every day at 12 o'clock, we're going to pray. And so what that does is that helps us take time out of our day to give to God. Because if we don't do that, man, we're just going to blow through our entire day and forget about God. And God wants to be a part of our day. God wants to provide guidance for us. There are people that God wants us to minister to. There are hurting people in our workplaces, in our lives, our communities, in our friends that might be going through different difficult times in their life. And God's telling, Dave, I want you to call them up. I want you to encourage them. I want you to let them know that I love them and I am with them. And God wants to tell us these things. But if we're so busy throughout the day, we miss that. And this is why prayer, fixed time prayer, is a good discipline to start doing. It said, now there was a man who was lame from birth, who was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the temple court. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Now, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. Now, here's this man whom everybody knew was lame from birth. And he had to have people carry him to the church. And so he could beg for, you know, money and ask for support from the people going in and out of the temple. And so he asked Peter and John for money. And Peter says, look at us. He's saying, I'm going to tell you something that's really important, and I want you to pay attention. Focus on what I'm about to tell you. So the man gave them his intention, expecting to get something from them. Now here's a man who's been lame from birth. And no doubt he probably heard of the new church. He probably heard of all of the miracles that were going. He probably heard about the power of God that was being displayed through the people in the early church. He probably heard that, oh my gosh, there's this new group of Christians, the Avengers, and they are doing these miraculous things. He probably knew about that. And so he was expecting to get something from them. Now, we don't know what it was, but most likely he was probably expecting to get money from them, because that's all he knew. All his life, you know, all his experience was to sit there and ask for help from people. I doubt if he expected to be healed that day. I doubt if he expected to see God's power being displayed in his life in that day, because all of his life, he never experienced that. And I'd like to ask you this question right now for all of those who are sitting watching. Is this like you? Where we've come not to expect that God display his power in our lives, because all of our lives as believers, we've never really seen it. Or maybe we haven't seen it in a way that goes beyond what is logical, what is beyond what we could do ourselves. So we're just like this beggar. Well, we expect something, but we are not expecting the miraculous. Then in verse 6, Peter says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Once again, we see this man who has been lame since birth. He was expecting something, but I doubt he was expecting to be healed that day. And then they come, and Peter takes him by the hand and said, "You know what? I know you're looking for gold and silver. I know you're looking for money. But there's something that we could offer you that's more important than gold and silver. And that's the encounter, having an encounter with the living God." And so he reaches out his hand, and in the name of Jesus Christ, this man was healed. And not only did he get up, it says that he jumped up, and he was jumping up praising God. And verse 9 says, "And when the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade." You know, here these people, they knew this guy, and at first they didn't recognize him, because all they knew was here was this man who's been lame all his life. You know, they didn't expect this guy to be walking around either. And so that's why they didn't recognize him. And they said, "Hey, wait a second. Hey, isn't that guy the one we've been taking to the temple every single day? He's walking. How could that be?" And so they are astonished. They are astonished. And sometimes, isn't that like us? When we experience the power of God, instead of believing that God could do it, man, we're astonished. Wow. I didn't recognize that person. I didn't think God could do it. They were astonished. And then when Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" And this is key here. Peter is saying, why are you guys looking at us like it was something that we were able to do on our own power? That somehow through our godliness that we were able to make this person walk. He said, no, it is only by the power of God that this person could walk. And so many of us tie the miraculous to godliness. Well, we think, okay, if I am godly enough, if I am spiritual enough, somehow I could harness the power of God and do these miraculous things. But Peter says, no, it's not through my effort. It's only through the power of God that this man could walk. Which brings us to my first point, is that disciples of Jesus Christ are conduits for God to display his power. God wants to display his power to the world. And he's chosen us as his believers, as his children, to be his conduits. Because God, if he wanted to, he didn't need us. Right? He'd just snap his fingers and boom, he could heal everyone. But he used Peter and he used John as conduits to display his power. And he wants to do that through us today. Acts 1:8. And this is what Jesus says to his disciples. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. So Jesus says that when the Holy Spirit comes, you are going to receive power. And why? Because once again, God has chosen to use each one of us to be his conduits to display his power. And we saw that in Acts 2 in the early church, where you were just seeing all of these spectacular displays of power by the Holy Spirit. And Acts 2:43 says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Now, I'm just not talking about signs and wonders, about God displaying his power through the miraculous. You know, I've witnessed the miraculous before, but God has never used me to perform a miracle. We also need to look for his action in the midst of our daily lives. Yet so many of us want to look for his power, which is displayed in the miraculous. All right. It says the Holy Spirit displays his power through us so we can glorify Jesus Christ. Once again, we have to realize that the Holy Spirit displays his power in us so we could glorify Jesus Christ. You know, when I wanted to be a superhero, when I dreamed of having superpowers, it was like so people could say, wow, look at him. Look what he could do. You know, he's special. But what does John 16:13 says? And this is Jesus talking here. He says, but when he, which is the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own truth. He will only speak what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. And he will glorify me, meaning Jesus, because it is from me that he will receive what he will made known to you. See, God wants to display his power through us to give Jesus the credit, right? But I get it. Sometimes we want to experience God's power because we want to get the credit. Now, we're not going to tell God that. But so much of what we do, isn't it based upon our self-image? You know, whether we post stuff on social media, whether we tell people what we've done, you know, isn't it a lot of it based upon our self-image? I know it is for me. You know, sometimes we just don't feel that we're good enough on our own, and that people's, what people think of us is so important. And so a lot of times we want to be special. We want to stand out. And in some ways in the church, it could be that we want to stand out because people could say, wow, look at Dave. Look what he was able to do. Man, this guy must be a really spiritual guy because look at the things that he's able to do that I can't. But once again, The goal of God's displaying his power through us is so the world could see that and glorify Jesus Christ, not us. You know, in his book, Forgotten God, Francis Chan says, God wants us to trust him to provide miracles when he sees fit. He doesn't just dole them out mechanically as if we can put in a quarter, pray the right prayer, and out comes a miracle. Miracles are never an end in themselves. They are always a means to point to and accomplish something greater. And what is that something greater? It's to glorify Jesus Christ. This is why God allows us to display his power. So the question is, how can we become conduits of God's power in the miraculous as well as in the midst of our daily lives? Because if you take a look at Scripture, these miracles, you don't see them happening a whole lot. I mean, they happen to glorify God. But more common is God's power being displayed through everyday lives. And so if you could turn with me to Psalms 105, verse 4 to 5. Psalms 105, verse 4 to 5. And this is what the psalmist says. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has pronounced. So the first thing we could learn from this and how to be a conduit of God's power is experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit requires seeking God through prayer and obedience to Scripture. And verse 4 says, look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. It says, look to the Lord and his strength. We look to the Lord for his strength to be displayed in us. Just like Peter says, wait a second, guys. Why are you looking at us as if we were able to make this man walk through our own power? It had nothing to do with us. It was all due to the power of God. And this is what the psalmist is saying. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to your godliness. Don't look to your own spirituality. He said, look to the Lord and whose? Your strength? No. He's saying, look to the Lord's strength. You know, how many times do we just act when whatever we're trying to do in the name of God is within our abilities to accomplish that task? You know, I have done that many times. And instead of looking to the Lord for, you know, his strength, I just look to serve the Lord with things that I know I could accomplish on my own strength. But is that what really God wants? Is God glorified? Is Jesus glorified when all we do are things that we could accomplish by our own strength? No. We might be glorified, but God is not glorified if all we're doing is doing things that we could accomplish with our own strength and our own ability. But he says what? Seeking the Lord's face always. Now, it's interesting. The word seeking here has two different facets to it. The first denotes seeking the Lord's face with an attitude of loving devotion. And this is when Jesus says that we are to love the Lord our God. So when it says seek the face, is to love God. Okay? And how does Jesus say that we are to love him? Jesus says what? If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. But he said, if you are to love me, keep my commandments. But it's not just keeping his commandments in terms of what we see in God's word, which is important. It's keeping his commandments or obeying his voice, because there are so many times God wants to display his power through us. And he's saying throughout the day, Dave, I want you to go and pray for this person. I want you to go and talk to this person. I want you to go and help this person financially. And it's in those times when we obey God's voice where we see the power of God being displayed. When we obey Him. Because I know that I've been blessed so many times by people who were listening and obeying God's voice. When God has given them maybe a word, or God has given them a word of encouragement, and they come to me and they said, "Dave, I feel that God wants me to tell you this." Or maybe they write a letter to me at an opportune time. That's how God works. But also, seeking the face has a facet of inquiry and supplication. So when we seek God's face always, it means to seek God's face with the feeling, attitude of inquiry or supplication or prayer. And that's how we seek God's faith, is through prayer. So the first thing we do is if we are to harness God's power, we have to be obedient to God's written word and God's voice that He directs each one of us. But we also have to go to God in prayer. That's the first thing. What's the second thing? Experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit requires having faith in God's ability to display His power. And He says, remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He pronounced. You know, God has been active in our lives all the time, but so many times we forget it. And we're kind of like the Israelites, right, who saw God bring them out of Egypt by displaying His power through 10 plagues that brought Pharaoh and Egypt to their knees. And so Pharaoh let them go. And so when they left, they saw the Egyptian army come after them. And they forgot all about that. And they were frightened, complaining to Moses, "Why did you take us out to desert only to be killed by the Egyptian army?" So what did God do? God parted the Red Sea. They walked through it. And then God collapsed the Red Sea on the Egyptian army. But then what happened? When they didn't have anything to eat, they forgot all about God's deliverance and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to the desert? We had food in Egypt. Did you bring us out here only to die?" Once again, they forgot about the power that God displayed in delivering them. We have to move forward in faith, remembering that God is capable of displaying His power through us in difficult situations. And that's why the psalmist is saying, remember, remember. Because in the face of difficulty, it's so easy for us to forget. Experiencing the power of God requires remembering God's promise to us. And he says in Psalm 105, verse 5, remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He has pronounced. Now, judgments here refers to the punishments that God inflicted on Israel's enemies. Because He made a promise to Abraham that He would make them a great nation and that He would protect them from the enemies. And so what God did is He pronounced judgment on Israel's enemies. And so what the psalmist is saying is, remember God's promises to take care of us. And one of the biggest reasons we don't see God's power displayed in our lives and is because we really don't believe in the promises God made us in the Bible. We might know them up here. We might have even memorized these promises. But do we really believe that those are promises that God will keep in our lives? Or are they promises that, you know, we think that are made for other people? And it's hard to display God's power in our lives if we don't believe in the promises, God's promises. So, because it's so easy for us to get discouraged. It really is. And especially when we try to do something for God and we're thinking we're doing something from God and we fail. And we feel, you know, okay, what happened? What happened? Did God leave me? Did God care about me? And a lot of times it's no. Because what? God's power is displayed in us as he sees fit. He's not some sort of genie that we could just snap our fingers and say, God, I want you to display your power in this event, right? God displays his power when he pleases, right? And failure is a part of our learning process. But unless we remember the promises of God, it's so easy for us to get discouraged. And so in order to remember, in order for us to experience the power of God, we have to do the things that the psalmist wrote in Psalm 105, verse 4 and 5. Because in Ephesians 3:20, the Apostle Paul writes, now to him, it's not in there, so just write this down and listen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. We can't even imagine the things that God wants to do through our lives. It says, according to his power that is at work within us. That's a promise. And the question is, do you believe that? Do you believe that God wants you to be a conduit to display his power in ways that are immeasurably more than you can even imagine? You know, that's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for me. And when we experience that, that's when we start living. That's when we get excited about our faith. That's when we start growing in our faith. When we step out and trust God in areas that we know, we just know that it had to have been done by God. Because there's no way I could have done this on our own. And I hope that you are encouraged that the power that is inside each one of you, which is the Holy Spirit, is able to do more than you could even imagine if you let him, if you trust him, if you have faith in him, and if you want him to do that in your life. So what's a weekly challenge this week? Our weekly challenge is I want you to read Acts 3, 1 to 26. I know we only read 1 through 12. And I want you to read Psalm 105, verse 4 to 5 every single day. And every single day, I want you to seek God's direction for your life through prayer and obedience to Scripture. God wants to display his power through you. And I want you to ask for God's direction in your life through prayer and obedience to Scripture. I want you to remember how he has revealed his power to you in the past. Many times you forgot, but I really want you to ask God to recall or bring to your mind ways where he revealed his power to you in the past. And this is crucial for those of you who are struggling right now. For those of you who are wondering, you know, if God could display his power through me, because man, I've messed up and I just don't know if, you know, I'm worthy enough anymore. I want you to read Romans 8 and choose one of those promises to remember all week. Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes to the promises of God, Romans 8 is my all-time favorite chapter in the entire Bible when it comes to encouraging me with the power of encouraging me with the promises of God. So I want you to read Romans 8, and it's full of promises. Just pick one of them. Pick one of them and claim that promise all week. And see what God does in your life. Let's pray. And the worship team, please come forward. Gracious Heavenly Father, I know that many of us, man, we want to be superheroes for you. There's something inside of us that wants to display a power in us that goes beyond our own natural abilities. But Father, the good news is that you want that for us too. You want to be glorified. You want people to be filled with awe and wonder as you see your power displayed in the lives of your children. You've chosen us to be the conduits of your power. And Father, what an awesome privilege that is. And Father, I want to ask forgiveness for myself for when I failed to believe that. When I was like that beggar sitting there every single day of my life, expecting people to help me with money. When you have the power to do something greater, that you could do something beyond my wildest dreams or imagination through the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, I ask for your forgiveness for settling and being used to not asking that of you. But Father, I pray this for all of us this morning. That you would shake us up from that mentality. To place it upon our hearts that you want your Son Jesus to be glorified. And the only way we could do that is through the display of your power that your Son Jesus promised to each and every one of us that would come with your Holy Spirit. And it may not come in the form of the miraculous or the signs of wonders, but it could come in the way that lives are changed. Where people who we thought would never make that decision to put their faith in you, put their faith in you. That people who would never step out beyond their comfort zone would do so because of our encouragement and our reminding them that God wants so much more for their lives. So if that's you, I pray this week that you would ask God to allow you to remember all of the times that he was with you, all the times where you had forgotten how he has displayed his power in your life, and all of the times God has kept his promises to you. And he never, never reneged on any of his promises. Brothers and sisters, God wants so much more for you than you could ever imagine. And I pray that each one of us would have that vision for God in our lives. May God bless each one of you this week as you seek God and you yearn to have his power displayed in your life. In your Son's name we pray, amen.